Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fearless Generations with Terry Sayer and Kelly Fox.
Good evening. Welcome to Fearless Generations. Terry Sayer here with Kelly Fox. I am over in Arizona. Kelly's in California, and we're ready to begin a new month, a new year, and talk about the next step in our fearless pathway, which is compassion. So welcome, Kelly. I hope everything's going well. I haven't seen you for a little while. How are things in California?
Things are good. We got some rain today, and that's always needed.
Yeah, I'm in sunny Arizona, and it's been raining all day as well, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was going to take my mother up to visit some friends in Payson, which is where she used to live, but it's snowing, so we're probably not going to take the trip up there just because the road conditions may be a little bit hazardous, so I don't have snow tires on my car.
No, you wouldn't living in Tulare.
No, or in Phoenix. So anyway, how did your week go last week?
Well, the kids are home for vacation, so it's been pretty low-key, just cleaning up the house and then occasionally getting a fun trip to see family. We spent New Year's Eve here at home, and that was fun. We just kind of hung out and watched movies and ate popcorn and did that sort of thing here at the house. And then the next day, we went and hung out with friends and stayed out super late having fun with our friends. And spent some time with you the next morning, and had my favorite holiday, which is not really a holiday, but fondue night. And that's when all of my family, my half-sisters and Terry and my sisters with my whole sisters, I guess, we all get together and we have fondue, and we've been doing that for longer than I've been alive. So it's my favorite time because it's when the most of us are together, and they make us, my older sisters make us toffee, which is like the best thing in the world, and we eat fondue, which is the best food in the world, and have lots of fun. And just get to connect and be together. And so that was pretty much my week.
Well, it's a great opportunity to practice some of the steps that we've talked about and some of the strategies that we've talked about here on our show for the last 2 years. And I think in particular, we can practice this connection, which is what we were talking about, connecting to ourselves and connecting to others and allowing ourselves to practice patience and to practice being open and present and living in the present moment. Anytime you're with your family and a great abundance of family, which we had almost 30-some people together with a variety of experiences coming together, a variety of past opportunities that may or may not have been positive, and yet coming together at that moment, committed to connecting with one another and being present with one another. And it was a very positive experience. And even though some of our family members may have had some issues or were working through some forgiveness of one another or trust issues, there was this willingness, this awareness and willingness to be united, to be connected, and to move forward in our journey as a family. And so it was very positive. It was a very positive time and a very lovely day and an opportunity to make those connections and to connect with one's own intentions and one's own purpose. And so it was very pleasant. And that we did that on Saturday. And it was a very nice opportunity. And Sunday I left to come over here. I drove all night and arrived here at my mother's in Sun City West. I arrived here this morning at 7 a.m. So I'm a bit tired. I've taken a couple naps today to try to make up for no sleep yesterday. But it's always a pleasant time to be here and connect with my mother. And so as we practice this awareness and our willingness and our desire to connect to others and to connect to our intention and our passion and be open, it brings us to this next step that we're going to work around and do some discovering around and understanding and connecting with compassion, which is a really interesting component for me because it's my essential nature is to be compassionate to myself and to give myself a break and to understand and give myself space for my humanity, but at the same time not let myself off the hook and to still be accountable to my intentions and accountable to my passion and my purpose. So compassion is what we're going to start talking about today, and we're going to look at compassion and the components of compassion and ways to connect with our compassion, ways to be aware of compassion, willingness, and really how to take action in compassion. So that's where we are tonight, and that's what we're going to look at this month of January. So we're going to start out this new year with compassion. So when we say that word, what does that word evoke for you, Kelly, when we think about compassion?
Well, I've always thought of myself as a very compassionate person. I am the first to volunteer to help someone out. And I reach out, I seek out my friends and, you know, so that they know that I really am there for them, that it's not just an empty invitation of, you know, let me know if you need anything, but that there's sincerity behind it. But I haven't really been great about having compassion for myself. And that's that ties into my focus for this year of self-love and self-care, that I'm trying to, or that I'm practicing, being more compassionate towards myself and being the kind of friend that I am for others, being that kind of friend for myself, and having my own back and being willing to do the things that I need or ask for that help from others. Because I'm not always the greatest at accepting support from others or asking for support with others, because I like to put on a brave face and act as if I have it all together. And I know that that's not supportive for me or for anyone else when we put on that face like we're all good when we're not, because it doesn't allow others who are also doing that to then break down and ask for support as well. Because when we allow that vulnerability for ourselves, then that gives others permission to do it as well. So the more compassionate act for me is to actually let down my guard and to ask for support when I need it. Because then that allows others to do it as well. So things that I think of course, I think of kindness, seeing others' innocence, and then also being kind and seeing my own innocence, you know, because it always starts with you and it always returns to you, how you're using these steps with yourself and then in turn with others. But I definitely think of kindness, and I think of seeing one's innocence, and I think of I also think of acts of kindness, either just simple things like a thank you card or baking someone a loaf of bread or telling someone that their hair looks nice today. I think those are also acts of compassion that we can do for others and for ourselves.
Well, I think the things that you said that really resonated with me, that I really loved what you were, when you were talking about compassion and what that word means to you or that concept means to you, was first of all seeing others' innocence and seeing your own innocence, which is giving you space for being a human being. I mean, we're all, for me, it's the opposite of perfectionism. I often call myself a recovering perfectionist, and I think when we're in that mode of perfection, we really don't allow ourselves vulnerability, nor do we see our innocence. We only see the need to be perfect and to always be strong and to not be vulnerable and to not let down our guard, and also willing to practice kindness. And I think I just, on my way over here to see my mom, I listened to a book called The 17 Second Miracle, and this book was full of what can happen in a person's life that can change their life in just 17 seconds. And it starts out with a person not paying attention for 17 seconds and resulting in someone else dying. A child dying, and how that 17 seconds of not being aware and not paying attention allowed for this accident to happen, and how that person, instead of allowing that to destroy their lives, they looked at other ways 17 seconds could create miracles that would enrich other people's lives and allow them to turn around through acts of kindness and awareness and willingness to serve, and to allow people's, to see people's innocence and humanity, to create these 17-second miracles that can change people's lives. And it was really an interesting little book, and I'll probably listen to it again on my way home just to try to apply that more practically to what can I do in my life to be more compassionate for myself when I make mistakes, instead of beating myself up and saying, oh, you know, here I am, you know, doing this again, bringing up the past, not allowing myself the luxury of vulnerability or innocence, but yet filling that space with judgment and negativity and bringing up the past instead of staying in the present. So it was really an uplifting little book just to think about, and so my book club is reading it, so I'll be able to discuss that with them as well, as we look at ways to affect change in our own lives as well as to help others to see their capacity to change, which is really the whole point of fearless living and of being a life coach. And so compassion is that willingness to practice kindness, that willingness to be vulnerable, to be human, to see our own innocence and to see the innocence in others, and to allow space for people to experience opportunities to grow from those 17-second miracles, whether they're an opportunity to reflect, an opportunity to change a path, an opportunity to make a choice, an opportunity within those 17 seconds that can change as we have compassion, change our journey to be one of kindness and one of allowing others their experiences and really surrendering to for me is surrendering to the will of my higher power to just be present and experience and have compassion and move forward without those expectations of what happened in the past, what might happen in the future, but to be in the present. So I really appreciated listening to that book on my way over here and realized that it was a good preparation for introducing compassion and what that might look like in transformational opportunities in our life to practice compassion. So I really liked some of the things that you said that resonated with me. And for me as a recovering perfectionist, vulnerability and seeing my own innocence, my own humanity, and giving myself space to grow and to allow this compassion and kindness for myself to really be a part of my being and my intention is part of my growth and my ability to put the perfectionism out of my mindset and replace it with compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think compassion is definitely an important step along this, you know, our steps to freedom. I think as you become more aware of different choices you've made or different things that you've possibly allowed to happen or whatever it may be, that you might be tempted to beat yourself up or to tear yourself down. And so I think as, you know, as we go along this path of awareness and then willingness and connection and getting really clear on what it is that we do and what it is that we want, compassion is an essential step to kind of let go of that temptation to beat ourselves up and to let go of that, you know, desire to, you know, say, oh, I've wasted so much time or whatever it might be that you use to tear yourself down and to have compassion for yourself that when you made those choices, you were trying to meet a need and you were using the only way you knew how. And now that one thing that Oprah says is when you know better, you do better. So now that you are having these awarenesses, you're having you're practicing being willing to make connections and to move forward in this freedom, you also can have compassion for yourself and let go of any kind of guilt or regret from the past and move forward in your new awarenesses and with your new willingness. And I think that's really important even along the way. You know, you're practicing, so there's going to be moments where you may not achieve the level that you were going for, and so when that comes you can reach back into compassion and have compassion for yourself or for others and continue your forward movement towards freedom.
Yeah, I think that's I like that. I wrote that down when you know better, you do better. And I think the whole concept of willingness to practice is mm-hmm. also a sense of being present and more light. You know, it's less heavy than I have to be kind to myself. I have to forgive myself. It's like I'm willing to practice. I'm willing mm-hmm. to practice being my innocence. I'm willing to practice vulnerability. I'm willing to ask for support. I'm willing to connect to myself, mm-hmm. and I'm willing to allow myself compassion. I think one of the things that comes up for me too when we talk about a willingness to be kind to ourselves and to have compassion is to not let ourselves off the hook. Though, you know, I think at some point we can perhaps err in. I don't know. I mean, it's sometimes if we just continually let ourselves off the hook, then we can also become stuck and mm-hmm. stagnant in moving. So if our goal, let's just say, because both of us are working on self-care, And we're working on, for me, I'm working on sleeping, consistently getting enough sleep. And for Christmas, I got a Fitbit, which, you know, like registers my sleep patterns and tells me when I, how many times I woke up, whether I was restless. And so really trying to monitor my sleep and what are the conditions that I can do, turn off the TV, have it be dark, do this, you know, some things that I'm willing to practice and to see, well, how do I sleep better during these conditions or you know, what makes me more restless, et cetera. And so also exercising and eating better. So say we, you know, we eat sugar, we eat a bunch of sweets, and then we say, oh, that's okay, I'm just going to, you know, I'll try harder tomorrow, and then we eat sweets again. So we can't, having compassion doesn't mean every day we say, oh, well, I ate a lot of sugar, that's okay. You know, and continually do that without being willing to practice a better habit. So mm-hmm. not letting ourselves.
That's next month, Harry. That's accountable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's what I mean. Sometimes when you say, oh, I'm going to let go of all judgment, I'm going to not beat myself up because I'm being compassionate, that's kind of like telling ourselves kind of a lie, you know. As mm-hmm. we're not holding ourselves accountable. So I think there's a line there. And mm-hmm. we want to allow ourselves to be accountable to our goals and to our commitments and to our purposes. And having compassion and being kind to ourselves can mean, you know, it doesn't mean letting ourselves off the hook.
Well, no, not necessarily. And I think also if you're continually making the choices to not keep your commitments, you need to readdress how committed you are to your commitments. So maybe you need to shift your intentions around so that they support you better and set yourself up more for success, like get the sugar out of the house or, put your running shoes somewhere where you'll have to step over them or trip over them, you know, or something like that, so that you're reminded more, you know, of your commitments. Write them down and put them up so you see them. You know, we talked last year about, you know, setting ourselves up for success. There's definitely certain things that you can do to motivate yourself or to make it easier for you to make those better choices and to keep, you know, to keep committed to your new goals that you have set for yourself or your intention that you've set, you know, that you've written down and committed to for yourself in, you know, in this new year, which is ours is self-care or self-love. And so, you know, if you're constantly making old choices, you know, choices previous to your new commitment, then, you know, become more aware of that and what are you willing to do and where is your commitment level, you know, really look at yourself and get more clear on what it is that you're really wanting and how committed you are to it. Because if you're constantly, you know, eating candy or whatever, well, maybe you're not really willing to give that up yet. So what can you do instead? You could exercise more often. You could eat less candy. You know, you can limit how much candy you eat, and so that you're not beating yourself up, but you're being responsible by trying to make it easier for yourself to keep the commitments, you know, or making it more easier for you, like baby stepping into those commitments, because obviously you're not ready to make them because you're still making them on a daily basis. So, you know, that I think that would be, if you're experiencing that, it would be a time to assess really what it is that you're really wanting and are you really committed to getting it.
Yeah, I hear you. It's I was taking some notes while you were talking, and so it really comes down to compassion for oneself, but a clarity on your commitment.
Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't need to beat yourself up. You would just need to reassess your commitment level and what it is that's really important to you.
Yeah.
Because I know at this point. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
What were you going to say? Oh, I was going to say, well, I know at this point, okay, my commitment is self-love. And part of that is self-care. And so I've been trying to eat better, but I have not made the commitment of not eating chocolate every day. I know I'm not ready to make that commitment. So it's really becoming clear on what it is that self-care or self-love or whatever, what you're committing to. So you're not beating yourself up to something that you really haven't committed to. You know, have specific things that you're going to commit to, you know, like how you said you're going to sleep more consistently and you've set up, you've done certain things to make that easier for you. You know, or how I started going to the gym, and how I made it easier by making arrangements to go with a friend. That, even though it's like ridiculously early in the morning, but I'm willing to do that because I'm committed to making change in my life. If I was constantly not waking up and texting or, you know what, I'm not going to make it today, then I wouldn't be, my commitment level would be low. But the fact that I've been going with her means that my commitment level is high enough to get me out of my bed at 4:30, which I think means it's pretty high.
Yeah, for you, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Well,
so,
yeah.
So it's just a reassessment. If you're not, maybe that thing that you're continuing to do really isn't a part of your commitment, or if it is, how can you better support yourself in keeping it on a daily basis or a more regular basis? Maybe you give yourself a cheat day. Maybe you give yourself, you know, something else that's going to support you in what it is you're trying to achieve. So you're not gonna be like, oh, Kelly, I can't believe you did that again. You're such a loser. No, that's beating yourself up. So you're going to say, okay, Kelly, you keep doing this. What is it that you need to do to support yourself in going forward? That's having compassion. And it's also holding myself accountable. So, you know, but it's doing it in a way that's having compassion.
I'm just taking some notes because I want to be able to remember our conversation. So that beating yourself up and letting yourself off the hook are really centered in commitment and clarity of what you want. Because what I wrote down that I hear you saying.
Yeah, and I would also say your willingness.
Right.
Because if your willingness is low, then you're not really going to be committed to anything. Because your willingness to make changes is low. So you really need to assess where your willingness is. And it might be at different levels for different things.
Right. Yeah, no, that's good. I appreciate that that analogy and that comparison to self-love and self-care. So that's both of our goals this year is to do that. And I know Kelly's made some amazing steps forward in exercising. For her, this is a really big step to be able to get up and do that, to get out of bed and to go out and exercise that early. And for me, to go to bed and turn the TV off and have it dark and darker
huge.
In the house has been a big step too. Yeah, huge for me. So, I mean, we're taking those baby steps. We're taking those steps to understand the clarity of what supports us and moving forward. And having compassion is not beating yourself up, but asking those questions and assessing where it is, where we are with our commitment, and what kinds of steps can we take to support each other, to be vulnerable and ask for help from one another, and to give ourselves space to practice and to practice that willingness to move forward. So good, really good conversation, some good clarity on where we are personally in our journey. Hopefully that will be helpful to you as well. And we appreciate you being here with us this evening, and we look forward to exploring some more aspects of compassion for the rest of this month. So thank you, Kelly, and I think our time is just about up. You are the keeper of the clock there, so how are we doing on time?
We're out. We're out
You're
of
out.
Time.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. And I will, I'm sure I'll talk to you between now and when I get back, but I will be back in California by the time we have our next show on next Monday. So have a good evening. And I am going to bed. All right.
Bye.
I need that sleep. I am choosing to get that sleep now that I have been up for 48 hours. So anyway,
yeah.
Have a great week. And I look forward to visiting with you again. And we will address compassion. So any last thoughts, Kel?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Thank you very much. Saying good night and be fearless.